That's Lester Davenport doing King of the Jungle, which brings us to our next disc that was released by Earwig Records. And the man responsible for those, not the necessarily the musician on all of them, but the one that made them happen, is my guest, Michael Frank. Now, Michael, Lester Davenport, When the Blues Hit You, how did that come all about? These are all original tunes and by Mad Dog, which is his nickname. And so how did that all happen up?
Well, Mad Dog was a guy who I met in 73 around when I met Kansas City Red. He was playing in Kansas City Red's band in this little bar called the Rat Trap. And we just stayed friends, and he started playing in some of the clubs. And, I mean, it was 20 years later before I got to the record, but he was just playing around, did a few gigs with me and Honey Boy. And occasionally I'd book him with Red. In fact, he was on in 84 when we were on that tour where I met Jackie Torrance. He was on that tour, that one-month-long tour. So I just was friendly with him and getting him some jobs, and he was playing with Kansas City Red quite a bit. And so finally we just, you know, he wanted to make an album, and I thought, you know, I'd love to make a record with him. And he had history that was fascinating to me. He had started under the tutelage of Homesick James and Big Boy Spires in the early 50s when he was a kid, had just moved to Chicago from Chula, Mississippi. And then he played with Bo Diddley on some of the Bo Diddley. Him and Billy Boy Arnold were the two harmonica players on Billy Boy's on Bo Diddley's early cuts. Bring It to Jerome and Pretty Thing were the ones Lester was on. And so he's just somebody that was around, and I admired his playing, and he was one of the nicest guys in the blues. You know, one of the sweetest, most mellow guys. He got the name Mad Dog because he would sometimes play multiple instruments. Like when I saw him with Red, during the course of a typical evening in that little bar, Red would get tired of playing a drum, so Lester would switch over from bass, which he was playing when I saw him. He was playing bass with Red. And then he would play some drums, give Red a break, and then somebody else would come in and sit in and play bass, and he would play harmonica. And he also could play a little bit of piano and guitar. So he got kind of known as being Mad Dog because he would move around on the bandstand like that. And he also, I'm sure this had something to do with it, but he did mojo work and a very energetic version, and he was tall and lanky, and so he would get up and shake his hips and his pelvis and do mojo work, and the audience would go nuts.
Especially the women.
Yeah, and you know, and you see this tall, skinny guy getting up and shaking his hips like crazy and doing mojo and with this, you know, sort of smile on his face. And he was just a wonderful person, great tone, you know. Harmonica is an instrument, well, any instrument, you got to have tone and technique. And he was economical, but boy, did he have a sound. And all the other harmonica players respected him. He was one of the elders at that point when I recorded him in, I guess it was 92.
All righty. Yeah. Now, the next discs then is you pick up a guitar player, John Primer.
Yeah.
And the stuff you got to watch. Now, you'd mentioned using John before for some other sessions.
Yeah.
How did you go from using him for sessions to moving him forward to be the leader and do a whole record with him?
John was another guy that I got friendly with while seeing him around the clubs. I'd seen him at Teresa's Tavern at 48th in Indiana during the, which was Junior Wells and Buddy Guy's hangout in from the early 60s until Teresa died, you know, and I would see him there starting out. And we just became friendly, and he was playing, starting to play the little blues clubs on the north side, like Blues on Halsted. And he was a young guy starting to get known, having studied next to Sammy Lawhorn and the great players that would be around Teresa's Tavern, you know, and he was a really nice guy. John was a very nice guy. And so we just became friendly. And he didn't have a record out in the U.S. You know, he started, I think, to record for Wolf Records in Vienna, Austria, but he had no U.S. recording. So I just approached him, and we were friends, and he said, yeah, let's do it. And he picked the musicians, and, you know, he and I mean, it was a collaborative process in terms of who the musicians are in any of the records that I've put out. He has proven to be a great band leader, too. You know, no matter who's in his band, it sounds like John Primer and is consistent. So he learned his lessons well, and, you know, he's one of the best slide guitar players, electric slide players, and a very fine singer, and has turned out to be a pretty good songwriter in the classic electric Chicago style.
Now, he spent also a fair amount of time with Magic Slim.
That was later.
Right, but after this,
right.
He ended up taking the guitar position behind Slim,
right,
or backing Slim or whatever, co-guitar position for right. a long while with Slim.
Well, Daddy Rabbit, Junior Pettis, was the second guitar player with Magic Slim, and then when he died, John stepped in there and became Slim's second guitar player. And Slim always gave his guitar players a chance to do part of their set where they were the front man. So, and John was one of those guys, and still is, who could play perfect Chicago-style rhythm guitar and the lump. You know, he knows how to play rhythm and lead, which is at the same time, which when you're a stripped-down band, one of the things that you learn as a Chicago player is how to do that. Big Jack Johnson could do that, too. When they're stripped down to three players, you know, or if you wanted a fuller sound, you learn how to play rhythm and lead guitar, and John can do that. And so we just had a meeting of the minds, and we were, you know, admirers of each other, and we went in and did it.
So now what tune you want to play off this John Primer? Title cut, Stuff You Gotta Watch? There's also Double Trouble, Longhorn Special, Lawhorn Special, and Cairo.
You know, Double Trouble, I like all of them. But Double Trouble is a song Otis Rush had cut in the 50s. And John does a very nice job on that. It shows how fine a singer he is. It's evocative of Otis Rush, but it doesn't make you think, you know, he just copied that from Otis Rush.
So let's do that one. This is John Primer from Stuff You Gotta Watch. That's Michael Frank, who is the man that helped make all this music possible. And we're going to hear John and his band do Double Trouble.